So like other speakers, I'd like to thank the organizer for inviting me and for giving me this opportunity. Yesterday I realized that, you know, the way my title is printed in the program is a bit misleading, and some people think that I'm talking about debt over to debt actions. But it's not the case. I'm talking about debt square actions. Yeah. So this is a joint work with Hiroki Matsui. Right. So I start with something very familiar to this audience. So let there be a inter-sister algebra. And U and V are unitaries of A, and the commutator of U and V is very small, okay? So in this situation, one can associate the so-called bot element, which is an element in K0 of A, in this way, so following Terry Boring. So let's consider 2x2 operator matrix. And here, F, G and H are some real functions, but it doesn't matter which function it is in this talk. Anyway, there are some functions. Then it turns out that this operator matrix has a gap in its spectrum. So by using functional calculus, so you can define a K0 element, and this is called the bot element. Okay. So when U is a homotopic to identity in the unitary group of A, then this bot element is known to be an abstraction for existence of a homotopy, satisfying a homotopy in the unitary group, connecting the identity and the U, such that UT and the commutator of UT and V small. Okay? Right. And in many sister algebras, this is the only abstraction. For example, if A is a purely infinite simple sister algebra, then it's known that this is the only abstraction. What element is the only abstraction? And this is due to Bradley, Elliott, Evans, and Kishimoto. So I successfully put two names here on this slide, and that's appropriate for this workshop, I think. Right. Now, let's think about analog in the automorphism case. So, let alpha and beta be automorphisms of A, and let's assume they are homotopic to identity, and they commute. Okay? Then one can ask the following question. Okay. What is a relevant abstraction for existence of a homotopy in the automorphism group of A, connecting identity and alpha, satisfying this relation? So, beta and alpha t commute. And here is a candidate of such an abstraction. So first, you choose an arbitrary homotopy, gamma t, connecting identity and alpha. Okay? And for each x in A, this function, right, this one, is periodic, of course, because alpha and beta commute. So this function gives a homomorphism from A to the tensor product of C of T and A. Right? So, let J be the inclusion map of A into the tensor product of C of T and A. Then this difference is in this KK group, and that's KK1. And it turns out that this class does not depend on the choice of homotopy gamma. Okay? So this is an abstraction. So, there is an abstraction actually in KK1. So this is, say, automorphism version of what element. And the goal of my talk is the following. So that is shown, classified depth actions, alpha with trivial KK class, by using this KK1 obstruction. In other words, I assume the action alpha has a trivial local invariant. By local, I mean that each element, each automorphism has a trivial invariant. Then it remains only global invariant, and so I want to show that this KK1. And our main result said that in the case of Kirchberg algebras, then indeed this KK1 obstruction is the only obstruction. But in the case of stably finite classifiable Schiste algebras, then KK1 is not enough. Well, already in the case of Zeta action, KK cannot distinguish automorphisms. So you need something else for stably finite case, but I don't know what it should be.
So classification after homotopies, right?
No, up to cosaic convex. Right. So before stating our main result, I start with basic definitions. Right. So gamma is a discrete group, and A and B are unitary Schiste algebras, and alpha and beta are group actions, gamma actions on A and B respectively. So we say that alpha and beta conjugate if there exists an isomorphism from A to B, such that theta intertwine the two actions. Okay, that conjugate. Now, we say that alpha and beta alpha conjugate if there exists theta, again it's an isomorphism from A to B, and also there exist unitaries UZ in A, such that theta intertwines alpha and beta up to inner automorphism here. So for alpha conjugate here, you are allowed to put an inner automorphism here. Right. Now, so we say that alpha and beta are cocyclic conjugate if so they are alpha conjugate and more, and these unitaries satisfy one cocyclic relation here. That's cocyclic conjugate. So conjugacy is the strongest. The next strongest is the cocyclic conjugacy. And alpha conjugacy is the weakest equivalence relation. And usually, cocyclic conjugacy is too strong for classification purpose. That's too strong. And alpha conjugacy is too weak because it's not clear whether, you know, the two cross products are isomorphic if you assume they are only alpha conjugate. But if you assume that they are cocyclic conjugate, then the two cross products are always isomorphic. So usually this cocyclic conjugacy is an appropriate equivalence relation for classification of group actions. And, right, so if alpha and beta are cocyclic conjugate, and if moreover A is equal to B, and in that case theta is, of course, an automorphism of A, and if theta, the KK class of theta is trivial, then we say that alpha and beta cocyclic conjugate by a KK trivial automorphism. And this last equivalence relation will often appear in my talk, so please remember this. And of course, the Kirchberg algebra is a purely infinite simple nuclear separable Schiste algebra. I don't need to introduce this one. But anyway. Okay, so our first main result is the following. Let A be a unitary Kirchberg algebra, then there exists a one-to-one correspondence between the following two sets. The first one is the set of alpha action alpha of Z2 on A
with trivial local invariant. So each automorphism has a trivial invariant. Okay, they have a trivial KK class. And the modulo cocircle conjugacy by KK trivial automorphisms. This is the first set. And second one is the following. So it's a subset, subgroup of the KK one, satisfying this condition. So in other words, so this is a complete invariant for this class of G2 action. That's our first main result. So, please note that this class belongs to K1 of A. So if K1 is trivial, then the classification invariant is the whole KK1 group. So for example, so there are exactly n minus 1 cocircle conjugacy classes of alpha zeta 2 action on the Kunz algebra ON, where n is finite, because it's well known that the KK1 is isomorphic to zeta over n minus 1 z, okay, in this case. Right, this is our first main result, and the second one is the following. So, well, if the algebra is a has a very simple structure, then we can do a kind of induction argument, so we have this result. So there exists only one cocycle conjugacy class of alpha zeta n action for n, for every n, on the Kunz algebra over infinity. And the same statement for O2 was obtained by Massey before. But actually we gave a new proof in the case of O2 along this line of proof. But anyway. So now we know that there is essentially only one cocircle conjugacy of Zeta action on O infinity. So let's fix one of them, okay? So the next main result is the following. So any outer Zn action alpha on a Q-Hilbert algebra A is cocyclic conjugate to diagonal action alpha tensor mu on A tensor on infinity. And in consequence, so it's easy to show that this mu has a Rohorn property. So that means that any outer action Zn action on a Q-Hilbert algebra has a Rohorn property. So I don't want to introduce a Rohorn property in my talk, but I think you will see the definition in Matthew's talk on Friday.
So what is mu?
Any outer Zn action. That's unique. Up to cosine conjugacy. So you can take your favorite one. But then, of course, A is isomorphic to A tensor over infinity by Kiefer Phillips. Right. So far, I talked about only genuine actions, but for some technical reasons, so we need to work on cocircle actions as well. So let me introduce it. So a cocycle action of gamma on A is a pair, alpha and W, where alpha is a map from gamma to the automorphism group of A, and W is a map from gamma cross gamma to the unitary group of A, satisfying the following relations. So alpha is an action up to this inner term, and the unitary is satisfied the two cocycle relations. That's a cocycle action. And two cocycle actions, alpha W and alpha prime W prime, are equivalent if there exists a unitary VG for each G, satisfying these two relations. Okay. Right. Then the following hold. So any outer cocycle Z2 action
on a unitary Kirchberg algebra A with trivial cohomology class here. So this is a cohomology class with a coefficient in K1 of A. Okay, is equivalent to a generating action. And well, if this graph doesn't vanish, then there is no way to make the action equivalent to the, make the cycle action equivalent to the generating action. So this is necessary. So vanishing of this class is a necessary condition, but in this particular case, then that's also is a sufficient condition. Right. So in particular, when A is in the Kunth standard form, meaning that identity is 0 in K0, then you can show that this class vanishes. So in that case, any outer cocycle Z2 action is equivalent to a generating action. And of course, if K1 is trivial, then you don't have this class at all. So again, in that case, any outer cocycle Z2 action is equivalent to a generating action. So that implies that any outer cocycle Z2 action on ON, including infinity, is equivalent to a generating action. Okay, but when n is larger than or equal to 3, then the situation is very different. Indeed, there are countably many cocyclic conjugacy classes of outer Zn actions on the stabilization of the on infinity. Okay, remember, there is only one cocyclic conjugacy class of Zn action on infinity, but if you stabilize it, then the situation is very different.
Are those outer cocycles in actions? Or in your example, you have outer cocycles in two actions. The outer cocycles Z and X.
Sorry?
In the remark. You're comparing apples to oranges. Oranges, you have outer cocycle action there.
Yes?
Just outer action.
Just that, equivalent to them.
Yeah, but.
What?
Outer. Have outer
CN
actions on
those,
are they?
Which one you're talking about?
What? So every outer cocycle action is equivalent to an outer CN action.
Yes. Okay, let me continue. So this fact shows that, well, if you have a cocycle action on infinity tensor compact, then by cutting by a projection, then you can get a cocycle action. Okay, but up here you have just a generating action, but by using some tweaks, then from this fact you can construct a lot of cocycle actions on infinity. So this means that for n larger than or equal to 3, then there are a lot of outer cocycle Zn actions on infinity, and that are not equivalent to a generating action. So this shows the difference between n equal 2, the case for n equal 2, and the case for n equal larger than or equal to 3.
Are you saying that something is countable and something is uncountable? And therefore
no, not that type of argument.
But then what is the logical
deduction? How to say, so when n is larger and larger, then the group itself has a lot of k-theoretical obstructions. That's the reason.
Stable
case, yes. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah, all things depends on K, then. So. That's yes, yes, exactly. And there is no way to make it equivalent to a general action downstairs. I mean, okay. So next, let me talk about our strategy. And first, I briefly summarize basic fact on Kirchberg algebras and group automorphisms of Kirchberg algebras. So we say that row 1 and row 2, they are homomorphisms from A to B, so are asymptotically unitary equivalent if there exists a continuous path of unitary, okay, in B satisfying this condition, okay. And so let's assume A and B be unitary Kirchberg algebra in the Kunsthaler form. So the class of identity is 0 in K0. Let's assume, make this assumption. And then, okay, I use this notation, okay, for the set of unitary homomorphism from A to B modulo asymptotic unitary equivalence. So I took this notation from Rotan's book, but the definition is slightly different from the one in the book. But anyway, this is the unitary case of the what is in his book. Then Fitzgerald said that, okay, this space is isomorphic to KK of AB, right? And now Nakamura's theorem says the following. Okay, if A is a Kirchberg algebra and alpha and beta B are aperiodic automorphism. By aperiodic, I mean that they are outer at the depth action. So in my talk, I often identify a single automorphism with its single automorphism with a depth action in a natural way. So aperiodic means that outer at the depth action. Okay, then the following conditional equilibrium. So first one, okay, alpha and beta have the same KK class. And second one is, so they are cocyclic conjugates by a KK trivial automorphism, okay? So this is a very strong result. So now, let's talk about depth through action. So A is a unitary Kirchberg algebra, and alpha and beta are outer depth through action with trivial local invariant. Okay. So now, we consider alpha at the one of the canonical generator here, and we fix it. We call it gamma. Then gamma is a unique aperiodic automorphism. Okay, unique aperiodic automorphism A with trivial KK class. Okay, up to cocyclic conjugacy by Nakamura theorem. Right. So using this fact, we may assume that beta at the canonical generator 1,0 is the same as gamma up to inner automorphism here. So we can make this assumption by conjugating beta. Right. So after making this assumption, then we can identify the two cross products here by Z, cross product by Z. We can identify them because the difference is an inner. And let's call it B. Then we can also identify the two dual actions as well, okay? So now important fact is that alpha and beta at the other canonical generators extend to an automorphism of B commuting with the dual action. So our idea is that instead of working on A, we work on the cross product. So instead of working on alpha and beta, we work on alpha tilde and beta tilde. That's the idea. Right. So conversely, if theta is an automorphism of V, which commutes with the dual action, then its restriction commutes with gamma up to inner automorphism. Okay. So here, so we need an inner automorphism. So from downstairs to upstairs, then you don't need anything. But from upstairs to downstairs, you need an inner automorphism. So this means that gamma and theta zero gives a cocycle zeta two action. So, and this is the reason why we have to work on cocycle actions as well. Right. So our strategy is the following. So strategy for uniqueness is that we develop T equivariant version of the above result of Phillips and Nakamura. That's for outer conjugates. This is for only outer conjugates. But we need an argument to deduce a cocyclic conjugacy from outer conjugates. That's not possible in general, but in this case possible. And the strategy is very, well, canonical in a formal algebra setting. That's a model action splitting. Okay? And here, mu is a quasi-free action norm on infinity. Then after doing this model action splitting, then what you do is the following. So what you do is, you show that mu absorb every scalar 2 cocycles. And that can be done by using the fact that every rotational algebra embeds in O infinity. That's a fact proved by Hagerup and Rodan. So this is the strategy for uniqueness result. So we, uniqueness. Then now, I'll talk about the strategy for equidistance, and so we have already seen that starting from an automorphism upstairs, commuting with a dual action, we can get a cocycle D2 action, but not usually get a genuine action. So for equidistance, we need second cohomology punishing theorem. And the strategy is based on Okunian's idea in a formal algebra setting, but since we are working on sister algebra, so you have to take care of K-theory very carefully. So that's our strategy. Now I'll talk about the class of actions which allowed us to develop the T-equivalent version of Phillips and Nakamura theorem. The class is asymptotically representable actions. So let A be a unitary sister algebra, gamma is a discrete amenable group, and small gamma is an action of gamma on A. Then the action gamma is, we say that the action gamma is asymptotically representable if there exists a continuous path of unitaries for each G satisfying the following three conditions. Okay. The first one is just first one just says that gamma G is asymptotically inner. Okay? And the second one is these unitaries, path of unitaries form asymptotic representation. And the last one is the compatibility of the approximant and group action. And the important fact is that if gamma is an asymptotically representable action, then so it's cocyclic conjugate, cocyclic perturbation. This is an important fact. And in this definition, if you replace the continuous path with a sequence, then you get a approximately representable action. Okay. if A is a Kirchberg algebra and the theta is an aperiodic automorphism with trivial KK class, then theta gives a unique outer asymptotically representable action of Z on A up to a cocyclic formula fit by KK trivial automorphism. Because there is essentially only one such an automorphism, so to show that the theta is an asymptotically representable, you can choose any model you like. So it's not an easy factor. So, I need to introduce some more notation. So B is the cross product, and gamma hat is the dual coaction. So now I'm talking about a situation which is a bit more general than we need. So gamma is not necessarily commutative, so gamma hat is a dual coaction. And now, so I define this to be the set of unitary endomorphism of B satisfying this relation. So the raw commutator with gamma hat in this sense. Okay? So I call such a row gamma hat endomorphism of B. Now, we say that two gamma hat endomorphisms, row 1 and row 2, are gamma hat asymptotically unitary equivalent if they are asymptotically unitary equivalent by a continuous path of unitaries in A, okay? And so we use this symbol for the set of gamma hat endomorphism modulo gamma hat asymptotically unitary equivalence. So please remember this notation. I'll keep reading this for a while. So our basic assumption is the following. So A is a unitary Kirchberg algebra, and gamma is an outer asymptotically representable action. So now, the first lemma. This is a kind of equidistance lemma. So in this situation, so if a unitary endomorphism rho, this is not necessarily gamma hat endomorphism, but if rho satisfies commutation relation in the level of KK, then there exists a rho 1, which is really commutative with the dual coaction, such that. So rho 1 has the same KK class as rho. Okay, this is the equidistance theorem. Okay, and the second lemma is uniqueness. So if rho 1 and rho 2 are gamma hat endomorphisms, and they are in the same KK class, then they are in the same class in this space as well. And the proof of these two lemmas is a very strong form of the Rolin property, Rolin property of the dual action. So I don't want to introduce a Rolin property for coaction, but if gamma is abelian, then what we really use is a very strong form of the Rolin property of the dual action. So it's a Rolin property for compact groups. Right, so these two lemmas imply that we can really regard this set as a subset of KKBD, okay? KK of the cross product, satisfying this condition, so commutation relation. Computation condition. Okay. Here's the computation of this set. So let's assume that A is in the standard form and gamma is Z. Okay. In this case, by using this fact, so we can compute this space, and it turned out to be a direct sum of KK and KK1 with the following ring structure. And you might think that this is just a usual graded KK ring, but it's not true. So in this ring structure, every element of KK1 is nilpotent. So that means that, so this element is invertible if and only if its first component is invertible. And if rho is a KK hat endomorphism corresponding to this direct sum, then the first component is nothing but the restriction of rho to A. And this is the way we get the global invariant KK1. And by the way, this kind of computation works for every Zn. For Zn case, then you get a bunch of KK and KK1. And here's the outline of the proof. Okay. Well, so for example, if n is 3, then you get two copies of KK and one, just one KK1.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that, and so on. So the outline is the following. Okay. Since gamma is asymptotically differentiable, so its KK class is trivial. So this action is cocyclic conjugate is the following one. So you can assume that gamma comes from O infinity. Right? So this pair is isomorphic to the following pair. Okay. And here, okay, I said that you can assume gamma comes from O infinity, but moreover, you can assume that gamma prime is quasi-free. And using the fact that gamma prime is quasi-free, then you can do the following deduction. First of all, this pair is KK equivalent to the complex number and trivial action. So, the dual action. So this pair can be identified up to KK theory with the group shift algebra of Z and the coaction, and you can make the following further reduction here. So using this reduction and using this description, then it's easy to compute this space. Okay. And you can do essentially the same thing for Zn. Okay, now, to show uniqueness up to outer conjugacy, now, so it suffices to show the following. So if theta 1 and theta 2 are automorphism of B commuting with the gamma hat, such that, okay, these four are periodic, and the class of theta 1 and theta 2 are the same in this space, then there could be some automorphism of B commuting with gamma hat and the unitary U in A satisfying this relation. So intertwining relation, and moreover, phi, the class of phi is trivial. So this is an equivalent version of Nakamura theorem. And proof requires the following fact. So to show this theorem, then we need referring powers of theta 1 and theta 2 from in A. Remember, so theta 1 and theta 2 are automorphisms of B, but for this proof, then we need the referring power from A. And to show that, we need a little product argument. So omega is the free root of theta, and B super omega is the usual root of product. Then the root of product of A and B itself are sister subalgebras of the root of product of B. So we need the following two lemmas. The first one is the equivariant Kirchberg theorem. So Kirchberg showed that every unitary Kirchberg algebra for every unitary Kirchberg algebra, it's root product. Its central sequence algebra is purely infinite simple. But here, what we need is a relative central sequence algebra here. So it's a subalgebra of the usual central sequence algebra. Okay. And for the proof of this, we need the fact that gamma, group action gamma, is approximately representable. Now, after getting this lemma, then the only thing we have to show is the following. So, what we have to show the following. So, okay, remember theta 1 and theta 2 are here in this space. Then we have to show that induced action of theta 1 and theta 2 on this sister algebra are periodic. And actually that follows from the kind of asymptotic Galois correspondence. So remember, this relative central sequence algebra is nothing but the fixed point algebra of the usual central sequence algebra. So what we have to show is the following. So let theta be an automorphism A such that the induced action fix every element X in the relative central sequence algebra. Then there exists a unitary and group element Z such that theta is of this form. So with these two lemmas, then we are done. We can construct Broccoli projections. And by the way, so this lemma is true for every outer action of every discrete group on Kirchberg algebra. We don't need to use amenability at all. So I have 3 minutes left. So let me talk about modular action splitting argument briefly. So let rho L and rho R be the inclusion map of the O infinity into the tensor product of the two copies of O infinity. Then the essence of the O infinity theorem of Kirchberg and Phillips is the fact that rho L and rho R are approximately unitarily equivalent. And that's a fact shown by Dean Phillips. Okay? So we want to consider group action version of this result. So gamma is a countable infinite discrete amenable group, and mu gamma is a quasi-free action on infinity. Here, the canonical generators are parameterized by the group elements here. Okay, then this quasi-free action is just a shift translation. Okay, then. Okay, then this lemma is just a straightforward generalization of the well-known facts in the group action case. So if there exists a sequence of unitaries in the tensor product of O infinity and O infinity, such that the following holds. The first condition is just saying that, so UM, this sequence implements the approximate unitary equivalence of rho L and rho R. And the second condition is that, so this is asymptotically fixed. The sequence is asymptotically fixed by the diagonal action. And if these two conditions hold, then for every Kirchberg algebra A and every outer action alpha, so alpha is cocyclic conjugate to the tensor, the diagonal action here. This is just a straightforward generalization of the case without a group action. So now the problem is that how to find such a sequence. And here is a sufficient condition. Okay, if the diagonal action, okay, is approximately representable, then the conclusion holds. So there is such a sequence of unitaries. And in particular, if this action itself is approximately representable, then the conclusion holds. Okay, now, I think my time is up. So let me mention a few things quickly. So Okay, in the case of ZL, then some kind of induction arguments actually show that every outer axiom ZN or N are approximately representable. So you can do this splitting here. And moreover, by using this splitting, then we can actually show that in the case of Q-Hilbert algebras and in the case of ZN, outer ZN axioms, then outer conjugacy implies co-cyclic conjugacy. This is not highly non-trivial fact. And indeed, in the case of UHF algebras, then Nakamura and Kaplan-Marcy show that there is a gap between outer conjugacy and co-cyclic conjugacy. So, I stop here.
I'm wondering what happened to the bot class. I mean, did that turn into KK1?
Actually, we can show them. Okay. Let's find this slide. Okay, I show that this space is isomorphic to the KK, the direct sum of KK and KK1, right? Yeah. So the invariant of group axiom comes from this space. But, and actually, you can show the bot class is equivalent to this class. I mean, but it's not a straight, very straightforward. It involves a contour isomorphism.
Okay, if not, let's thank the speaker again.